Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. It's that time of year here in the United States, back to school time. For those who want to attend college or graduate school, finding the money can be a big challenge.
If you want to move forward and have that dream of home ownership, the new car, all those things, you cannot get off the ground with bad credit.
That's financial expert Paul Gentile. We'll talk to him this week about finding money for school and how to manage your money once you're in college. Paying for your education on this week's American Cafe. The U.S. Federal Reserve has estimated that college students here in the United States, whether they're in school now or they've graduated, are carrying more than $1 trillion, that's trillion dollars, in student debt. That's second only to what people here owe for their homes, and it's ahead of car loans or credit cards. So knowing how to reduce your student debt or avoid it altogether and how to manage your money has become more important than ever. This week, we talked to Paul Gentile. He's the president and CEO of the Cooperative Credit Union Association, and he has some ways that you can save money on your college bills.
Well, first of all, I think you have to look at how you're going to finance your college education. It's a great opportunity to have college education in the United States. Unfortunately, one of the downsides is it's become quite expensive in recent years. We're now looking at about $1.4 trillion in student loan debt that we have in the United States. That's double since 2009. So I think more and more young people are becoming more wary of how they finance the college education, which for young people often is the American dream, going to college. So I think first and foremost, you have to figure out, do I have the right financing lined up to pay for my college experience?
There are other expenses a college student runs into, housing, if it's not a state-provided housing, like if they want to be in a private dorm or if they're going to live off campus. Also textbooks and things like transportation. What are some of your recommendations about navigating that maze?
Well, fortunately, the good thing about our universities and colleges, they do have great systems of transport for students to get around, depends what type of campus you're on. Some campuses are quite walker-friendly, but most universities will have transportation for the students, so I think you have to get familiar with how those work. A lot of them have apps that you can download and see where all the buses go and what the schedules look like. So I think that's very, very important. I think it's also important to understand the services that your university offers. You have to eat, you have to sleep, as you mentioned. Fortunately, a lot of the universities offer good pricing if you eat on the campus grounds rather than going, out to a restaurant. So understand how those work. You often have to prepay your campus card to buy books and to buy food, etc. And they can be prepaid in a variety of ways, even a foreign student will be able to prepay that with a prepaid debit or prepaid credit card. So those things are really, really important to understand. Typically on the housing, you're going to have a better deal on campus, but you certainly have to vet that and see if there's opportunities maybe to live with co-ops more in a group setting so you get some better pricing. The dorm rooms aren't big these days, and people are comfortable living in the college, getting one room. I know I did that. We had four roommates. I only had one room, but it was cheaper than living in the dorm. So I think you should explore the local opportunities you might have with others.
Now let's talk about things like credit card use and budgeting. How important is knowing how to use a credit card and also knowing how to stay within a spending plan? Talk about that for a sec.
Sure. I mean, college campuses were famous 20, 10, even 10 years ago for having giveaways. As soon as you got to campus, you could get a six-pack of soda or a shirt or a football or some kind of giveaway for signing up for a credit card. They've tightened those rules a little bit so that you don't have as much as that, but there still are a lot of solicitations to college students to get plastic cards and to get access to credit. So for many, unfortunately, there's not a lot of financial programming going on during high school and middle school. So for a lot of people, that's the first time they experience using credit. So as us older folks know, you have to use credit very, very wisely. And I do think it's important when you're younger to really track every transaction you do. The good thing is today you can track your transactions on a mobile phone. You don't have to write everything down. You could see it through the mobile app, where you spent money, how much it was. And a lot of the apps also will allow you to project interest charges. So that's how you learn what that's going to cost you if you don't pay on time, what the fees will be. I do think tracking is vital, and I do think you should use technology. A lot of opportunities with that today.
How do you get people to understand, look, what you do with that piece of plastic has lifetime implications?
Sure. I mean, there's a great survey just came out from the Federal Reserve, how home ownership among 28 to 30-year-olds is down dramatically from where it was 10 years ago. And the main reason is student debt. College debt has ballooned to $1.4 trillion. So my message to students would be, if you want to move forward and have that dream of home ownership, the new car, all those things, you cannot get off the ground with bad credit. So you have to start slowly and understand the decisions you make young are going to affect your credit for years to come, as you said. So I tell them to think about the bigger picture down the line, the brass ring, the opportunity to have some ownership things, build equity in things, and you're not going to do that with a poor credit record.
So keeping good track of your finances would be something you probably recommend, right? Just making sure you know how much is actually in the bank.
Sure. The average overdraft fee is about $30 in the country. So if you're going to bounce it for a $2 cup of coffee, that's going to cost you $32. You do today, these days, there are some protections. You can opt in so you don't have overdraft on your credit card or your debit card, but a lot of them do have that. A lot of people opt in to that, so they have to be very wary of that. Fees, interest, right? Especially when you're young and you don't have a lot of credit history, you're likely going to be paying a higher interest rate than somebody who's more established. So if you have a 14% credit card, and you don't pay that $68 bill, may seem like small money to begin with, but you do that 3 months in a row, and your interest charges are going to rack up very quickly. The other thing is a lot of parents like to monitor their kids' accounts, and we do recommend that. Parents can play a great role in just monitoring to seeing what kind of transactions they're doing and giving them a little guidance.
Now, you mentioned earlier about scholarships and grants and things like that. Are there places that people can look or should look for scholarships that don't go granted? I know that every year there are some folks who it might be, you know, $500 or $200, or the local Elks Club has a scholarship or something like that. But money's money, right?
Absolutely. And fortunately, you know, we deal a lot with student loans. So there are lots of places you can look for student loans. But most of the universities have great finance departments that want to give you as much scholarship money as you can possibly get, and they will direct you to the websites, the apps that their university participates in, and like you said, local opportunities as well. So I think it's really important to go with your finance department at the school, but also check the local area where you live. You know, the Kiwanis groups, credit union groups, community groups, there's often opportunities to find scholarship money there.
Paul, have I left anything out that you think students need to know about this subject?
One of the things we're talking to students more and more about is understand the cost of your degree with the likely outcome in what kind of salary you'll earn. You know, some degrees don't command the same level of salary than others. So you may think about, and we do recommend this, think about community college for a few years before you go to that big university. If you're in a degree field that, you know, may not command the biggest of salaries, some of the liberal arts degrees and things like that. So I think more kids are starting to look at what the salary level is going to be in their area of expertise. Of course, the other thing there is some people are undecided and we have all that. But just in general, understanding, you know, what your degree could earn you is a good thing to look at.
So what do you think? Do you have a financial plan as you head to school? Let us know your thoughts about this program by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. And if you want to hear other episodes of our show, you can find them at voanews.com. For all the folks at VOA, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.